Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
All right. Thank you so much, choir, worship team. Thank you. Welcome to the last Sunday of 2020. It's kind of crazy that we're here. It's like it's here. It's now. Here we are. It's chilly. Well, today we will pick back up in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would like to go ahead and turn there as we continue this series, Equipped to Overcome, learning and discovering and continually renewing our minds on what it means to be confident in who God is and what God has given us, everything that we need for this life, to overcome the challenges that we face and live a victorious life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this morning, we want to explore this idea of what it means to leave a heritage, giving others what cannot be bought. Wherever your life is, you have in your life what's called a sphere of influence. You have people, you have relationships, you have family, you have friends and people that you work with, and your life is influencing them in some way. And we want to be challenged and encouraged today with what it looks like in our church family, in our marriage, in our family, in our circle of friends, to give others something that cannot be bought, to leave them with an influence that would constantly be pointing them to Jesus. And so often memories come to mind. You think of how often, maybe even this last week, memories came to your mind that you grew up with. What was Christmas like in your home growing up? Those could have been good memories. They could have been difficult memories. But our minds are flooded with these memories that we have from people who have influences. So kind of with that in mind, I want you to pause for just a second. I want you to think about what it would have been like again to be Timothy, who had spent about 15 years with the Apostle Paul on missionary journeys and then was sent to Ephesus to pastor the church. And he receives this second letter inspired by the Holy Spirit sent to the church for him and for us today. And he opens it up like a huge Christmas card and he begins to read the whole thing. And as he goes into chapter 1, it's like, well, that's not good news. Paul's in prison. And it's as if Paul's completely okay with this. In fact, because Timothy is so well acquainted with Paul, Paul is challenging Timothy in chapter 1, don't be afraid. In fact, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed to identify yourself with me. And if you're Timothy and you're just thinking logically, you're like, well, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be chained up. And okay, I'll think about that. Well, he continues reading, looking for some good news, and he gets to chapter 2, only to discover many people have left the faith. Phygellus and Hermogenes have turned away, and Hymenaeus and Philetus have strayed from the faith, but in fact, they're going out and spreading another message. And chapter 2 says their message is like cancer. It's hindering the faith of other people. It's like, okay, it's got to get better when I get to page 3. It's got to get better. Good news coming in chapter 3. It's only going to get worse. He gets to chapter 3 and it's like, well, Timothy, perilous times are going to come and people are going to become more loveless. People are going to live more lawless. And those who want to live by faith are actually going to be persecuted for their faith. And people are going to continue to be deceived and deceiving others. It's going to get worse. If you're Timothy, you're trying to catch your breath in this moment, because from then until now, we've been living in the last days and we are able now, because of the internet and news and whatever, to see things are getting worse and worse. Okay, well, I got one page left. Chapter 4 is going to hit me with a bang. If you're Timothy, come on, Paul, come on, give me something good. You get to chapter 4 and Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. In other words, Timothy, I'm going to trial soon. And I'm very confident that at the end of my trial, I'm going to be executed. This is Timothy's father in the faith. This is the most influential person potentially in Timothy's life. And if we would just be real right now in receiving this letter, there's a whirlwind of emotions here. Life is very difficult right now. And it would be easy to read this entire epistle and say nothing but bad news. And I'm left discouraged, I'm left upset, and I'm really down that one of my best friends in the world, my mentor, the Apostle Paul, knows that he is soon going to die, and he's asked me to come see him one more time. And maybe in many different ways, when you look back on 2020, maybe that's kind of what you see. If you only look for the bad, maybe because of the coronavirus, man, this year was just extremely difficult at work, in home, with relationships with other people. Maybe this year, marriage hit a different bump in the road than it had ever hit before. Maybe this year, as a child or teenager, school was very challenging with all the ins and the outs, and you really can't ever be sure of anything, and sports got thrown off. And maybe this year has felt just really challenging and really dark for you in many ways. And it's hard to look into 2021 and say, man, I'm following Jesus. Well, I want to encourage you today to ask this question. This is such a great question to ask in life and to keep asking in life. Five words. Lord, what should I do? Lord, how do I respond to what I'm currently dealing with in my life? It's a prayer. It's a cry out to God. When times are tough and when times are going great, Lord, what is your will? Because I'm teachable. I'm here. I'm listening. I know that you know better than me. And I would at least wonder if Timothy got to the end and said, okay, maybe I missed something. There's got to be something in this epistle that would help me to say, what do I do in light of all that I know is happening and going to happen? Well, of the many really good commands in this text, today we get to look at one of the most valuable commands in this whole letter from the Holy Spirit through the hands of Paul for Timothy, for the church at Ephesus, and for us today, because there's times when you get to this place that it's easy to become overwhelmed. It's easy to think about just getting discouraged and getting down and giving in or giving up or turning and running away or making a really bad choice. But if we ask this question, Lord, what should I do? As we close out 2020 and by your grace, we move into 2021, what do you want me to know about how we should go forward? And so it is kind of here with this question in mind that I would want to invite you, if you can and you're able, to please stand with me in reverence and honor for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired word as God reaches into Timothy's memory bank and reaches into the heritage that has been passed on to him by Paul, by his mother and grandmother, and just grabs a hold of something and says, remember this. But you must continue, verse 14, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we stand here at the end of 2020 by your grace, and we thank you and we praise you. But we recognize there have been challenges this year that we have all encountered. And though we may not fully be aware of them all for one another, you know them all in detail. You are there and you are here now. And we know, according to your word, that you are able to still be more than enough for what we need both now and going into this next year. Father, we're well-minded that many of our church family suffered the loss of a loved one this year, a father, a grandfather, a mother, a grandmother, a friend, and a close relative, many right here from amongst us. So we do pray your comfort and your grace, and we ask your strength as a church, that we would continue to discover who you are and that we would be confident in how to go forward. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. So notice this again. In these two verses, the Holy Spirit shows us a really powerful way in which he works. He reaches into the heritage or into the memory bank of the life of Timothy, and so will he with us. And he reaches in and he recalls to our minds a who and a what. The whom is anyone that has influenced Timothy's understanding or your understanding of God and his word. And the what here is the absolute credibility and the reliability of the word of God that he has given us. I want you to think for a second. Actually, I want to try to capture this with something very special that my wife Jennifer does every year, and she has done this for 10 years of our marriage. If you come into our home, one of the most valuable things in our entire home sits on our living room table, and it's these. For each year of marriage, the sweet little Jenny Boo Pie, as I like to call her, she takes enormous amounts of time and she stays up late at night and she takes all the pictures from her phones from that year of marriage and she begins to put them into an album, and it's a Shutterfly album, and when she's done, we have kind of a picture of that year. But these albums are so much more than just photo albums. They're who's and what's. In every album, there's who after who after who. It's the who's that God was putting in our life to influence us, to invest in us, to share their lives with us, to give us something that money can't buy. And also in these albums are who's that God gave to us to invest our lives in. It's who's that were blessings to us. It was who's that were answers to prayer, and it's who's that we got to spend quality time with that could never be taken away. But also in these pictures, in these albums, are what's. There's memory after memory after memory of what God was doing in our lives during that time, because we're such forgetful people. We love to just sit down together and open these up and be like, oh my goodness, I forgot about how difficult that moment was. And I remember what God was teaching us and what God was revealing of himself to us and what God was reminding us of to capture our hearts again and to help us during that very challenging time. I remember what God was also revealing within us that needed to change and needed to be conformed more to the image of his son. These are treasures for us because of who and what God was doing. And for us, one of our prayers is that one day these stories would become amazing, credible, and incredible sources of encouragement to the three boys that God has entrusted to us, that they could look back to before they were born and when they were born, and that they could see God is at work, and God will always be actively at work in the lives of those who trust him, and here's our word, and in the lives of those who will continue to learn and to trust and to follow his son Jesus. Now look, if somehow that suddenly inspired you to start making Shutterfly picture albums, whenever you go to the checkout, just type in the code Little Jenny Boo Pie and they'll give you 30% off. Just to throw that out there. But in reality, here's kind of our big idea today. Our faithful response to hardships becomes both a credible and incredible source to the faith of others. Whatever you have went through this year and whatever you're currently going through right now that you might say, that's pretty difficult. It's pretty challenging. I want you to see as we work through this today that it's never just for you. It's always for someone else also. Because there are people in your life, whether it's family or friends or people you work with, sometimes these people are outspoken. Sometimes they're watching your life and they're never saying a word. But God is storing up a memory of your life in their minds. And God wants our responses to these hardships to be something that one day He can reach into and say, do you remember when him and her went through that? Do you remember what I did in his life and in her life when they encountered that hardship? I'll do that in your life too. And that it will encourage their faith, perhaps even at a time when they're at a breaking point, when they're ready to give up or give in or just run away. So I want you to think about this. Let's begin by looking at some of these whoms. We're going to look at Timothy's mother and grandmother first, Eunice and Lois. If you could put into one short sentence what was their priority in life, it was to teach Timothy the scriptures. We know very little about Timothy's mother and grandmother, but we do know this: they're believers. We know that Timothy's dad, according to Acts chapter 16, was a Greek and was an unbeliever. And we know that they raised Timothy in a region near Lystra where there's statues and there's the constant worship of Greek gods. That would have been a great hardship to teach your son, to teach Timothy growing up. And you're trying to help him to understand the God of the Bible is the one true God. Well, yeah, but Dad says Zeus and, you know those other gods, that they're also real gods too. No. No, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and King David and the prophets, He's the one true God. These other gods are false. Well, but Dad says, think about how hard that would have been for a mother and a grandmother raising the young Timothy. But their priority was to teach Timothy the scriptures. Think of this. Think of how many times Timothy would have saw a broken marriage. I mean, how well can a believing mother and an unbelieving father really experience the love of God in their marriage? That would have been very challenging at times. Can you just think of this? If an unbeliever in your life was going to determine whether or not the gospel is true or false based upon your response to the next hardship, what would they walk away believing? And in essence, that's kind of what Eunice and Lois were faced with Timothy's dad and the challenges this would have been. But on top of that, think about just how challenging it is in general to teach and continue to teach a child. What we know is in verses 14 and 15 is that this began in Timothy's childhood. And this continued all throughout his childhood. I want you to think about how persistent and patient they had to be. And if you've ever taught a child, if you had a child, they're not always just sitting at your feet saying, yeah, give me Jesus, teach me the Bible, I'm ready to learn. And so the persistence and the patience that it would have taken with an unbelieving dad is just amazing. But what the Holy Spirit wants Timothy to know is continue into things which you've learned and being assured of, knowing whom you've learned them. Timothy's mom and grandmother made this their priority. I'm sure there were so many times where Timothy was out of control, where Timothy was moody, where Timothy was simply just difficult, and where he asked so many questions they didn't know what to do. And what would have been easy is to just give Timothy what he wants. Do whatever it takes to just get him to calm down and be quiet. Forget the Bible stories. Forget instilling the Word of God in him. Just make him calm down and help him to be happy. That would have been easy. But it wouldn't have been the most loving thing, and it wouldn't have allowed for the writing of these two verses. Wow, man, if you're a parent or a grandparent today and you need some encouragement, here it is. They gave Timothy what was a priority. If they had let him dictate everything that was taught in the home, what that really would have taught the young Timothy in his childhood is, yeah, whenever I want my way, all I have to do is act up. When I'm sick and tired of what mom and grandma are wanting to do, all I have to do is just cut a mood and they'll just give me whatever I want. So really, they would have taught Timothy, you're in charge, and what you say is going to dictate what we do. But that's not the case with his mother and grandmother. It says that you learned them and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. That word known in the Greek means you became acquainted with it. You were well rehearsed in who God was and what God was doing in the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And even when they failed, God remained faithful. Timothy, we want to assure you, God will do this in your life. And now look at the result. Time is never wasted when time is well invested. Think of that. Time is never wasted when that time is well invested. Look at the result in verse 15. There came a day when the stories of the Old Testament scriptures collided with Timothy's faith and understanding of the gospel. What we know is that Timothy never enters the book of Acts until chapter 16. And we know that Paul and his and the team of missionaries with him were in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra in Acts chapter 13, 14, and 15. In other words, they were in the very region that Timothy lived in and grew up in. And we know that in every one of those cities, they suffered persecution and they did not stop and they kept giving people the gospel. Don't you kind of wonder if somewhere in that time frame, because we know in chapter 16, Timothy has a credible reputation with all the disciples and believers in Lystra, and he joins the missionary team of Paul. Don't you kind of wonder if at some point in the midst of all that chaos and madness and persecution, Timothy, as a young teenager, looked and said, man, they're getting persecuted and they ain't backing down. Man, they stoned Paul in Lystra and left him for dead. He didn't stop. Because what we certainly know is he saw something really powerful in his mother and grandmother. When we go back to chapter 1, here's the one other thing that we know of Lois and Eunice. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, those two words, can you imagine if those two words were the only two words that described you and me? Because that word genuine in its original language, it's a word that means they didn't just have faith. Their faith was held to the fire. And when it came out on the other side of the fire, it was genuine. It was real. It was something that Timothy could look at and say, Mama and Memaw is the real deal. Mama and Memaw would rather die before they denied their faith in the Lord Jesus. And you just wonder what kind of persevering faith had on the young Timothy. So when he goes back and he sees these four words, but you must continue, Timothy, let the faith and the teaching and the life that was modeled right in front of you, let it dwell within you. You just kind of imagine him reading this letter saying, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not backing down. I'm not running away. I'm not giving in and I'm not giving up. Because I know my God is able, and I'm persuaded that he can keep that which I have committed to him. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Well, think of this. Let's look at another very unlikely, but certainly a credible who in the life of Timothy. His name is Mr. Luke, Dr. Luke, Luke the physician, Luke that wrote the Gospel of Luke, and the book of Acts, the recordings of the church after the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus. Now think of this. When you read the book of Acts, page after page, what you read about is Peter, and then eventually you get to Paul. And the way Luke writes it, he uses the word they and he. So they went there, and then he did this, and they said that, and they did this. But something happens in chapter 16 that has not happened in the book of Acts until you get to chapter 16. Luke inserts himself into the story. And for the rest of the book of Acts, what you will see is the word we and the word us here and there, every other chapter. Immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now watch, here's why this is so important. Acts chapter 16, verse 1, Timothy has just joined Paul's missionary team, and now Luke is letting us know, I was there too. And we went here, and us, and we. And so Luke is a part of Timothy's life, and this is around 51 AD. Now think of this. If you look at a map at what happened at the second and third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, here's where both maps end up. The city of Jerusalem. And each time this missionary team landed at Jerusalem, they were all together. Maybe they had some time to do some different things. But what we know from Luke is this. At some point while in Jerusalem, before 57 AD came, whenever he wrote the Gospel of Luke, he went and found Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now watch this, and we'll put it all together. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, Luke says this, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us." Paul's right there. Luke begins the Gospel of Luke by saying, I'm writing an orderly story. Of course, the Holy Spirit is inspiring this. I'm writing a narrative of what took place. And Luke says, everything I'm about to write down that you're going to read is from an eyewitness account that delivered it to me. Because Luke interviewed them, because Luke pursued people. Watch what the next two verses tell us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Luke is telling us, at some point in time while he was in Jerusalem, he interviewed people. He interviewed people throughout his life. He pursued people. He wanted to know. He wanted to get the story straight. And so many of these times, Timothy was with him. And what Luke wants every reader to know, especially this well-known person, Theophilus, is the Word of God and God Himself is credible. This is a reliable source. You can bet your life on it. And so just imagine for a moment, Luke finds Mary because no one records for us the details of what took place in the life of Mary like Luke did. Luke finds Mary and he says, listen, I'm a doctor. I've heard stories about the birth, but I mean, that don't make sense. You were a virgin. You got to be with a man. How did you get pregnant? Well, okay, tell me. Tell me, Mary. Tell me. And Mary sits down and says, well, there's this angel that showed up. And she goes on, okay, how'd you respond to that, Mary? Well, you were engaged to Joseph, but how did he respond? Well, he was actually going to do away with me. But then the angel spoke to him in a dream, okay? Well, Mary, when did all this take place? Well, it's actually at a time when Caesar Augustus demanded a census and the whole world had to be taxed and we had to go to our hometown. Okay, so where were you and where'd you go? Well, we were in Nazareth and we had to go all the way down to Bethlehem, the city of David. And Luke is just putting this together. And when she lets him know, she was ready to give birth. Now, just be a female for just a moment. Your last 3 days of getting ready to deliver a child, you're riding on a donkey 3 days in the wilderness down the Jordan River trying to find Bethlehem. When you get to Bethlehem, there's no hospital. Your mama ain't there. Your grandmama ain't there. Your closest friends and relatives ain't there. And they ain't even got no room for you to stay. And Luke says, what on earth did you do? And she says, well, there is a stable. And he would ask, how in the world did you not lose your faith? How did you not get angry at God and say, God, really? And she begins to tell him about the shepherds. Luke, you should have seen the shepherds that showed up that night. They were nobodies, but they had just witnessed a heavenly host of angels. Luke, you should have seen what happened when we went to the temple on the eighth day to dedicate baby Jesus and to have him circumcised. You should have seen Simeon and Anna's face. In other words, Luke, let me tell you about the who's that God was putting in our lives. Luke, let me tell you about the wise men that brought us gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We were poor as dirt and we had nothing. And God supplied everything. How could we not trust him? And whether Timothy was with Luke during those interviews, we don't know, but Timothy would have heard from firsthand eyewitness account from Luke himself, if not from Mary, the Christmas story. You think about how we tell the Christmas story. You think Luke was boring when he told people the Christmas story? I bet he just glowed with excitement. Because he interviewed the very mother of Jesus. And he says, I want you to know for certain, this woman has a credible faith. I have met with the eyewitnesses of the majesty of the manger. Can you imagine? I want you to think what church is like when the church is filled with people like Luke. They're going to pursue people, and they're going to ask questions, and they're going to get to know the person. They're going to get to know your story, your background, because they care. Luke was a person who cared. And so many of you in this room and so many of you watching online, one of your greatest testimonies is that you have grown in your walk with Jesus because of the people that God is putting in your life. Well, let's look at one more. That, of course, would be the Apostle Paul. I mean, if you're a young man here and you grew up with a broken relationship with your dad, or maybe no dad at all, you can't even put a value on what it's like to have someone that comes into your life and becomes that spiritual father figure. And one of the greatest things we know about the Apostle Paul is the purpose of his life. And I kind of wonder, if Timothy was reading this letter and he said, okay, and he went back to verse number 10, which says this, from the Holy Spirit, went the wrong way, through the Apostle Paul, and Paul says this in verse number 10, you, Timothy, have carefully followed my doctrine. That is my personal discipleship. That is my personal understanding and teaching of the scriptures into your life. You have been with me. If you have one person in your life that will pour into you, if you have one person in your life that will let you look in at their manner of life, nothing is hidden. Ask me anything. Ask me about my personal life. Ask me about my marriage. Ask me about the shortcomings and sins. Ask me about the good times and the bad. Paul was a person who let Timothy and so many others in on it all. He says, Timothy, you know the purpose of my life. You know what a credible source this is. You know my faith. You know those times that my faith struggled, and you know those times when it didn't look like there was any way, and we trusted God, and he opened the prison doors, or he provided what we needed. Timothy, you know how much I suffered with very difficult people. I mean, he was just very real. And Timothy, you know how we tried to love them and serve them, and we persevered, and we were persecuted, and we were afflicted. You know all the things that happened to me. As a church, this is real life, church family, discipleship, sharing life with one another. And he says, you know what I endured. In other words, you know how the Lord strengthened me and delivered me. And this is one of those moments where we can just pause and be like, there's too much credibility in this book to think about running or turning or giving in or giving up when that hardship comes. Those moments are the very moments that God is saying, trust me, trust me, trust me, cry out to me, pray to me, don't give up on me, and just keep looking to me. Because if you can trust Jesus for where you're going to spend eternity, pause right there and think of that. In accordance with verse 15, if I can trust Jesus, I am never, and all believers in Jesus are never going to know one iota of heat from the flames of hell, because we're saved. We're given eternal life. If we can trust Him for eternal life, how much more can we trust Him in how to live day-to-day life? And so you just kind of, with this big picture in mind, and you kind of, we can close today and say, Lord, what should I do? We would encourage anyone to pray and ask God to put credible sources in your life. People in your life who are going to love the Lord Jesus and from the overflow love you. People in your life, they're going to say, the Word of God is what I live for. It's my word map in life. It's my purpose. Jesus is my everything. And when we continually grow as a church full of those kind of people, one day, so many people in your sphere of influence will stand at the crossroads in their faith. They'll be encountering a hardship and they'll say, no. I remember how you worked in Cody and Lindsay's life when they encountered a hardship. I remember when Sharla and Trevor watched their son go into double lung transplant surgery and the peace of God overwhelmed them. I remember watching Scott and Carol at Miss Sue's funeral and how they simply just celebrated their life, her life, as difficult as it was. God works in such powerful ways to write memories of Himself on the lives of people, so that when we face these obstacles and we say, Lord, what should I do? He says, continue in the things which you've been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Let's pray. Father, that is exactly what we would ask this morning. And we recognize that not everyone could say, that's something I can continue. So Father, we ask that this church would be a place where people's walk of faith could begin. We pray that this church would be a place where people's walk of faith gets established. And maybe their past is broken and it's full of hurt, but here in your house is a place where people get new beginnings. People get to start fresh and new and discover the wonders of who you are and grow with confidence and assurance that you know what is best for our lives. So we ask, as we close out this year and by your grace we move into a new year, that your word and your people influence our lives, and that you would accomplish all that you desire to in our lives. For the glory of your Son Jesus, we ask this. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.